When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, listeners, we have some exciting news to share. Once again, the entire Deeply Graphic Design team will be partnering with the Adobe MAX Creative Conference this October 15th through the 17th in Los Angeles, California. Designers from all over the world come to Adobe MAX to uplevel their work, their process, and the creative journey. MAX is the perfect blend of information and inspiration, practical knowledge, and creative magic. Not only will we be there for live interviews and episodes, but the Adobe team has also arranged a special discount for all of our DGDC listeners. Use the code DGDC to receive your discounted rate. And stay tuned for more information on future episodes. We can't wait to meet you guys at Adobe MAX.
You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions at thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikhail Morrison out of Seattle.
Nick Longo in Los Angeles.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, for another exciting episode of the Deeply Graphic Design Cast. It's Friday. We're here to party.
Yes,
what have you
sir.
Guys been up to? Anything good?
Wes, you should talk about how you're an uncle. That baby is adorable.
Oh, yeah. So glad you brought it up. I'm an uncle again for the second time. So I've been a little, I have a niece. Already had that. Now I've got a nephew. So,
oh, awesome.
I've got a matching set at this
nice.
Point. So,
that's right.
Yeah. Friend
that's
of the
great.
Show, Christy, who's been on the show in the past. She's
yes.
the mama. And yeah, so got to spend a little bit of time with the new guy in Austin two weekends ago, which was a hot place for a baby, I'll tell you that much.
I've heard the
being
temperatures are high there. Yeah, I had a friend visit recently. But I've never made it out there. I've always wanted to go and just go to the music festivals and the art festivals.
I know.
Yeah.
Food
we
scene.
Did none of that. We had a wedding to go to. But my little brother, he lives there. So he kind of took me around a little bit before all that stuff
cool.
started. So
great.
I got to see a little bit of the city. Liked what I saw. They have those, the motorized scooters.
Yeah.
Like you just kind of can pick them up on the sidewalk and rent
them
out.
Oh, funny. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like, it's funny because I just bought one of those scooters like a month ago for getting around in Chicago.
So, oh, really?
Funny just to see like everybody using them there.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
We have them in like Santa Monica and all over Westwood and UCLA now. And the funniest thing is people just leave them places. I think that's the biggest problem was they didn't figure out.
Well, and it's allowed, right?
No,
it's allowed.
No, they're totally electric.
Yeah, and it's weird that...
you mean allowed or loud?
Allowed.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just pop them anywhere on a kickstand and they're like all over
so,
the sidewalk.
So, yeah, it looks almost, you know, aerial-wise, I was looking at a photo from like this BuzzFeed article. It looks like just a bunch of both electric, you know, scooters and bikes. Debris's worth looking down on these.
The day after.
it definitely looks like a problem for sure. Like if you get enough of those just all over the sidewalks.
Yeah.
But
that's fun.
In Chicago, I'm the only bastard with one. So
oh, dude, that's pretty cool.
Until
though.
They,
what a good idea for you where you live.
Oh, it's so much
no
fun
doubt.
Too. And I have the exact same model that all those companies are using.
Great.
So it's just go on Amazon, look up electric scooter. It's the Amazon pick.
Oh, don't
tip
me.
You want one for your own self.
Don't tip me. God, one click away.
we need, the three of us need those when we're in LA for Adobe. Oh my God.
There you go. Okay, October. That's the goal.
We'll get around everywhere.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Well,
awesome.
Speaking of awesome, Skillshare. Speaking of segues.
Yes, segues.
Yeah, so Skillshare, Skillshare, we love them. They basically, what a great way to keep your skills sharp, learn new skills, perfect your old ones. And, we're living in such a time where things are changing so rapidly that that's the only way to really stay on top of your field.
Yeah.
Is to kind of keep evolving with it. And Skillshare is perfect for that. They're an online learning platform with over 20,000 classes in design, photography, marketing, technology, and design, and more. So you can take classes in logo design, illustration, photo editing, video editing, all that kind of stuff. And I'm actually doing some video editing ones right now for like learning After Effects.
Oh, awesome.
They really make it easy. Yeah, because I'm trying to do, trying to make like a little intro thing for my YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So that's it's a whole learning curve, but Skillshare has me covered.
Killer.
What can't they do, guys? So basically I want you to join the millions of students that are already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents. Imagine all the crap you can learn in 2 months for 99 cents. So Skillshare is offering the Deeply Graphic Design Cast listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for just 99 cents. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/graphic. Again, go to skillshare.com/graphic to start your 2 months now. That's skillshare.com/graphic. All right. So
you're getting good at that,
and
man.
Speaking. Oh, thanks. I speak from the heart.
Exactly.
So speaking of learning and such things, what do we really want to learn as designers more than anything? It's how to get paid more, right? Like,
yeah.
We're not doing this for free. We may have a love for it, as I do, as you two do. Everyone listening has a love for it. But at the end of the day, we're trying to make a profitable business out of it. So today I have come across 5 ways that I really happen to agree with to raise your rates as a designer. So,
Yay.
I think the three of us can speak about most of these with, from experience. I don't think we're just kind of reading off a paper here. We've all increased our rates since we've started, it's fair to say. I've increased mine quite a bit within the past year. What about you guys?
Same. Yeah, I definitely, yeah. I try to
every year.
I think even the fact that we just talk about it kind of even on our own and on the cast a little bit about pricing, it's just a good checkpoint for us to always consider where we are and have we made changes to it based on what we bring to the table, right? What do we bring to our clients? So I'm glad we talk about it, but I also love that it's these little reminders for me to always remember that, because you can get very comfortable where you're at. And it is a little scary, and I'm sure we'll talk about the risks of doing this. You know, we always feel it's like a risk to do it, like we're going to lose all our clients.
Yeah.
But there's some strategy involved, and we have some great tips to kind of help you through it.
Absolutely. And that's kind of, and not to get too woo-woo about it, but that's kind of what they call the scarcity mindset, which is really what I want people to shy away from and go to that abundance mindset, which just says, just because you raise your prices, everyone, you may get a smaller pool of people that will work with you, but there's still quite a few of them out there that will work with you. And here's the other thing. There's a lot of the best clients don't want to spend $2 for a logo.
No.
The best ones actually have budgets because they work for a company where they have a marketing budget that's kind of set aside for this. And
goals.
Once you come in too low, when you come in too low, all of a sudden, I don't know about this guy. He's too low. He must not be very good.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so let's get right into the list here. And the first one, which I love, is just stop order taking.
Mm-hmm.
You're not Burger King. It's not telling your clients, have it your way. Because that's commodity design. That's what the guys on Fiverr are doing. That's what the guys on 99designs are doing.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a big mindset shift to think, really remember that you're not just an employee when you have a client. You need to think of yourself as a strategic partner mm-hmm. for them, you know, and you're filling in those knowledge gaps that they don't have. And that makes you more valuable than if you're just,
yeah,
what colors do you like? I will make a website with those colors. Like that's kind of low value. You're not bringing much to the table other than a pair of hands at that point.
Right.
Good to think that
way.
I know.
I always try to share that this is, I mean, I get a little bit defensive. Well, a bit defensive mm-hmm. when people just define my position as a graphic designer. It kind of irritates me. It's we're running creative consultation here. It's like a studio effort.
Exactly.
There's oftentimes, depending on the account, a ton of hand-holding throughout the process. They don't know. If the client knew, we'd be out of a job. They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the eye for it. So, it's taking orders. That's a big one. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that, Mikkel, because, whenever I talk to a friend or something, we'll say, oh, here's Wes. They always say graphics designer.
Right.
He's a graphics designer. I'm like,
on the Facebook.
I'm really not though. I'm really not, but it's
Changing. I'm seeing it change a lot, especially seeing how much more valued I think our profession is becoming over the last few years. And I think the term of branding and the term of strategy design and now user experience is being used so much in what we do. I feel that that's hopefully changing, but I'll be totally honest. I think most of the time I had that problem, like you said, Mikkel, where you're thought of as one way and you want to be thought of so much more. It was really based on the perception I was putting out there, you know? And once you do change it mm-hmm. and say you're more strategic and you're more of a partner and your website and your collateral and all of your branding say that, regardless if you're one person or 100, you won't be looked at until you put that out there the way you want it to be. And I think, we've shared so many great tactics on how to be this. So now it's about putting it out there and saying this is who we are and talking to the clients this way. This point's so strong because I still have another honesty. I have clients that I can't break out of this kind of thing where the direction is given and I'll put our two cents in and say, I think this might be the wrong direction. And I'll get a response back. Well, that was the direction. So maybe we need to just stick with that. And now I've tried as much as I can. So it's up to the balls of my court. You know, what do you do? But then others totally love it. And they melt when you give them that insight and they go, I love it. You know exactly what we're talking about. I trust you. So you could try, but sometimes it's a tough gig to get them going. You know,
right?
It's all about them.
And I'm to the point now where I had some clients like that, mm-hmm. and I've really had to say, you know, guys, I've done a big shift in my business, and this is kind of what I'm offering now. This is how I've improved my knowledge base. So if you're not really looking for that strategic partner, if you're just looking for the guy with Photoshop and Illustrator skills, there are people that can do it a lot cheaper than me.
Yeah.
Right.
Because now I'm charging for all my kind of marketing expertise and stuff mm-hmm. that's
right.
I consider to be a little more, I mean, design, I'm not trying to say design is not important. It is. But the other things are really, you can really trace the dollars back to it in a way that you really can't with design. So does that make sense?
I totally agree. And I think
that's a really good point, actually.
I was going to say, as like a point of why they're still with me is it's a huge chunk of the monthly income. You know, it's still, mm-hmm. I charge top dollar for it, even though a lot of it is directed and I'm okay with it. I think it's just a matter of like, as long as there are the majority of the others allow me to, be the conductor here and really drive the brand and all of its strategy, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with one or two that aren't, you know, as long as it ain't dirt cheap, because it's,
right.
So, man, it's like,
as long as they're paying your rates,
oh,
you know,
yeah. I mean,
as long as they're paying your rates, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't say anything but raised rates.
Raised rates. Right. Yes.
They don't know. I'm just kidding.
They're already raised. Okay. All right, cool. So number two on our list is learn more than just design. So this kind of really goes hand in hand with the last topic, which is if you're not ever going to learn anything more than just the design principles, you're going to have a hard time pulling any of this off.
Yeah.
So what I mean is you need to know, like if you're doing websites, it really helps to know at least the basics of marketing, particularly digital marketing, you know, Facebook ads, all and how they all work together with the website. You know, if you do logos, learn everything that encompasses branding, not just the logo aspect, but, you know, how the messaging works with it. Learn video.
Tagline copy.
Yeah.
You name it.
Yeah.
Anything associated with it.
Exactly. Learn video marketing. I'm not saying you have to learn like the production side of it, but know what makes for a good video. So at least you can maybe come up with the concept of the video for the client. And then you can have, you know, they can hire the production team to make it work. You know, learn analytics if you're a web designer so that you know how to go into Google Analytics and really kind of extract all that information that you can come back to the client and say, okay, so we found the bounce rate on this page is really high. Here's why I think that is, and here's how we're going to fix it, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And you don't want
conversion focused UX, yeah.
You don't want to be like a, you're not trying to strive to be the expert in all of these other things that are added to it.
No.
But it's a way of being well-rounded, and that'll help you.
For sure.
If you are being compared or being, you know, bid, if you're bidding against other folks and some of your response or your pitch to them includes some other things that, like Wes was saying, such great little add-ons, I think those help because like they want to see that they, if they can lower the count of people that they have working with them or for them, it makes for a huge difference in their workflow. So they don't have to go somewhere else for somebody else, you know? So what an advantage.
And what I have found is, you know, when I was really trying to, I was really trying to pare down my business to the, just the strategy for a little while. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that wasn't working because most people, they like the idea of kind of a one-stop shop. They don't want to hire out.
Yeah, that's true.
Different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't want to hire out so many different people for all these different projects that they kind of conceive as one project in their mind.
Right. Right.
So the way I've gotten around this now is, I mean, I've kind of refocused the messaging back to, yes, we'll do your website, but we'll strategize it first. But I've become a student of all these other little ancillary things, like the video marketing, the copywriting, social media advertising, not so that I'm going to do it all myself, but so that I can bring a lot of it kind of in-house, you know, through contractors, not employees, not actually in-house, but so that I can at least project manage all these different aspects. And guess what? I can charge a premium for that. Because they have one go person who's me. I charge a project management fee for that. And then I charge, you know, I kind of upcharge everybody else, my copywriter, anyone who runs Facebook ads for my clients. And I make money on all those services because I deserve it, because I'm supervising all of it and it's my risk.
You're project managing all the steps.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Even on a more granular, like real small level, you can almost say in the initial conversations you're having with them, if you throw out some knowledge of, let's say, even color theory or something about the, you know, personality behind typography and how that enhances your website or your brand, those little things are remembered too. You know, a lot of times it could start from the very beginning and those early conversations you're having with someone to convince them of your rates. So the more you have in your back pocket, even if they're just those little things that you already know, and it's not something you're technically going out to learn, but put it out there. Like you said earlier, we are the experts in this field and why they're coming to us in the first place. You know, so whatever you have, put it out there and let them see that you have that advantage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, always bring up, like if you're talking to a client and you're really trying to assert yourself as the expert, don't just give soft reasons for everything. Like, oh, well, I just think this looks really pretty over here, so But that's never going to, because you can't argue a case for that, you know?
Yeah. I even took your advice the other day, and I haven't used Pinterest a lot, and I put together a quick trends board of apparel stuff I'd been seeing for this new client that I just wanted to make sure they realized that I'm going to fire back and know exactly what's out there. And the minute I showed him and shared with him that, and I let him pin some of the stuff on Pinterest, it was great. Mm-hmm. He wrote back, and his first words were like, "You totally get this. This is exactly what we're looking for." And what was it? 10 minutes of my time putting together.
Oh yeah.
You
know? That's awesome.
So
Pinterest is like the easiest little way to mood board, and the clients love it.
Yeah.
Like
they love it. And it's just, it's super visual, which is what is needed. And oftentimes clients don't know that they need those visuals to apply at an early stage, but it's so useful. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I logged on and I saw the last collection I made. It was like 2015 or something.
It's been a while for me.
I know, but like it's a quick way. And then when you, let's say you've signed the thing and now you're well into it and you're in your discovery zone, you got 90% of that stuff already there to build the real brand boards that you maybe are going to do. So again, it's just those things of like going, I just wanted another thing for that person to attach to and say, this guy is worth the rate he's asking. And this was all in the preliminary, you know? And
it's absolutely.
Right. So it could be as easy as something like that.
Sure. Oh, and by the way, Pinterest, like I did so much work with like a really large company a few years ago, Mikkel, I think you know which one I'm talking about. I'll just say HTC. And they use Pinterest for all the photo shoots and stuff.
Yes. Like, heavily.
It was cool. It's not, absolutely. So I think what we're trying to say is it's not like a kind of a small business workaround. I think a lot of big companies actually use it. So.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. That's a good point to make. Yeah, the big guns are using it too, for sure.
Yeah, it's just so easy. Okay, cool. So number three is give away your best stuff. So by this, I do not mean do free work for clients for spec work. What I mean is give away your knowledge through teaching. This is the best way, by far the best way to market in 2018. Giving away content, giving value, and proving your worth through, you know, giving advice and giving little wins to prospective clients. You know, and I've really started rolling this out so much more this year, and it's working as planned. You know, basically, there's so many ways you can do this. You can do it through a podcast. This doesn't really count because we're talking to our kind. Yeah, we're not talking to clients here, but YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm really rolling out, and I know again, Wes talking about video, but my God, video is. Anything else we talk about here, blog posts, anything like that, video is going to kill all them dead. Because seriously, not only are you giving the same information, getting it across, people are so much more likely to watch a video all the way through. And guess what? They kind of get to know you in the process. If you're writing a blog post, while it serves a purpose and it's good, it's a 3 or a 4, a video is a 10.
Yeah.
You know,
oh God, in this day and age, people just want to hit play and absorb. Who wants to read? It's true.
No doubt.
I use video all over my website now. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of ways you can do it. If you feel shy on camera, there are ways of not being on camera. However, I would challenge anyone listening to overcome that fear, because doing just like a whiteboard video where you're not on camera, or doing an explainer animated video, you're losing out on that huge benefit of that know, like, and trust factor of people watching your videos and coming away saying, wow, I really feel like I know Mikkel a little bit, like from watching that. And then when they talk to you, Mikkel, they're going to be like, oh, I can't believe I'm actually talking to her. Like, I've seen so many videos. Like, you know, it's one of those kind of things.
Nice personable touch, for sure.
Right. And in their weird way, they look at you as kind of a, I'm not going to use the word celebrity, that's a strong word, but they feel
like
there's
a high regard
you.
That's set in from that. It's a win.
you're an influencer at that point, at least to them.
Yes.
You know,
influencer is a better word.
Yeah. I hate that word, but you know, it's the word of the year.
I had a way around this where I felt too like how to do this in the right way. And in conjunction to it, I was thinking about how I felt like sometimes I was giving away too much of the strategy or in just pitching and just talking to the person initially. So one of the things I added was more of the add-on consultancy online or on Skype, and I have it on my site.
Interesting.
So if there is someone of potential and they're not, I haven't got them over the crossing line easily enough, then I offer them, well, look, let's sit down for an hour. I have a calendar and a fee, and you can see it all on my website. And that way they can just test the waters a little with you. It's like a little bit of a test drive, but you're not giving it away 100%. And then it could be people that just need it for that only and might have an internal art department, but want to talk strategy and branding based on what you know. So I think there's a lot of fun ways to play with this little section of putting yourself out there and not necessarily like giving it away, but it's like showing your chops and kind of, I think I've seen a lot of great examples of people who do this and not in the way like you were saying, Wes, like how we are. We're talking to our own like people on the podcast, but when you put a video out there that talks about to a company, right, like how to improve your SEO or whatever, someone's going to be like, that's amazing. Look at what this guy's doing. He's putting it out there, and I could trust this person. So when they do think of someone, you might be the first one they think of, thanks to that video.
That's the idea. And the mindset people have is like, well, I don't want to tell companies how to do it themselves because then they're just going to do it themselves. Guess what? The people that are going to do it themselves were never going to hire you anyway.
Yeah.
They were just looking for how to do it. But I will tell you this much, in my experience, and the reason I started getting so heavy into YouTube this year is because I started doing the math that almost every client that got in touch with me said, I found you on your YouTube videos, and I only had a couple.
Wow.
So I think all that happens is like a marketing manager, someone who's in charge of a website, before they're ready to hire you, they're going to do a little bit of research. They're going to like just type in YouTube, what do I need in a website or something like that? Mm-hmm. And if you're the one telling them, the chances of them like, they're not going to actually do it themselves, but they're information gathering.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's
Yeah.
Question for you, Wes.
Yeah.
Have you been posting it on LinkedIn a lot too? Are you getting good engagement there?
Not yet.
Okay.
And I think because I think I've neglected LinkedIn a lot. The only people that I'm in contact with on there, I think are people that have added me. Let's face it. Whenever we add anyone on LinkedIn, it's because we want to sell to them.
Yeah.
For the most part. So like, it's never like, oh, I'm going to add you so you can come and sell to me. So
no, yeah,
I haven't done it.
But
so I have a lot of developers and like people like that. I think quite a few people listen to the podcast have added me on there as well.
But
the bottom line is nobody that's going to be in that position to hire me. So my own fault for not having.
But you post it obviously is a post, but it goes to the link of your YouTube site, right, with the video. So is there any way that you get to know if someone gets to you on YouTube, they came via the LinkedIn route or no?
I believe, well, if you have LinkedIn Pro, I think you can tell.
Oh,
but then that's only if it's native LinkedIn video.
I'm just so curious about it, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think that YouTube will tell you in the analytics of where they came from. You'll see that it was embedded somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you won't see where, I don't think.
So it could be doing good. You might not get a lot of likes or people commenting on the actual LinkedIn post.
But it doesn't mean it's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, it's top of mind too. Someone might not have seen your work, but they've seen the post a few times and the consistency of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always your face and it's always the deep end logo. So I think there's a unique thing there that's still engraved in people, even if they didn't watch it or comment or whatever. I'm getting more and more curious and wondering how LinkedIn's starting to play in our field, because I almost feel like a lot on the other platforms, I know this is a tangent, but like we're just talking to other designers. And if there's truly someone that's going to employ us, I feel like the chances of them being on from LinkedIn might be better because I think they're more decision makers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just curious to see how that's doing for you.
Yeah. And I'll report back on that. Cool. I kind of, the only reason I ever like put my videos on LinkedIn is because I wanted to get more visibility. It's like one extra place to do it. So, but yeah, I don't have the right connections on LinkedIn at this point to make it work. I don't think
that could be it.
So that's, you know, but it all adds up.
I would love to just add that to this section that if anybody is thinking of saying, hey, I want to write a blog or make a video, whatever, it's free. As you're blanketing it out there, make sure LinkedIn is on that list because I just feel it's talking to people that will possibly pull the trigger and have the budget rather than, you know, I need you to do a logo for $50 because I found you on Instagram, you know?
Yeah.
And
that is why, that is one reason why LinkedIn ads are much more expensive.
Exactly. And we talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
They're not cheap and I have not tried them yet. I don't know if I ever will.
Yeah, I know.
I pay the LinkedIn ProFinder fee each month.
Oh, yeah.
And some months are pretty active with submitting proposals. What I appreciate is that they cut it off at 5.
Yes.
5 proposals max. So that way.
Oh, I didn't know that was a feature. So they can just solicit for proposals right there?
Yeah, ProFinder is kind of their way of connecting you as a designer with people who have a particular brief or project.
An episode about that.
You're paying for it, Mikhail?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, yes.
I've been on it for a while, but I've never paid for it. I wonder, I'm curious.
And I had been on it for a while too before I started paying for it. So maybe you're in that sweet spot still. I don't know how they track it.
Okay. Hmm. But yeah, it's worth maybe something looking into later.
But I do believe it's worthwhile because it is a chance to expose yourself and for potential clientele to expose themselves to you that are local.
True.
Because, you know, there's a lot of work, you know, that we establish amongst those that are out of state.
It's a good middle ground. Yeah, it's a good middle ground. If someone doesn't want to be on the Fivers and the whatever, and then they're not at the top of their game just yet.
And it's, I don't know. LinkedIn is just, it's trustworthy. It's a trustworthy process. So yeah. I'm happy to be a part of that.
Let's look into that. I think that would be a fun topic to explore this whole ProFinder.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We promise you.
It seems trustworthy. However, I feel like I get nothing but spam on it.
Really?
Well, not true spam, but I get people adding me as a contact.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Then they immediately try to hit me up with something. That's kind of all it is for me.
Sure.
It's all about
you're going to get that nonetheless.
It's all about who they, like when it says, I help brands take it to the next level. It's like, nope, that's a decline. But if they're the product designer or some strategist at Nestle, I'm like, yeah, I will be your friend.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But the ProFinder is totally
Wants
different.
Wants a free chocolate.
And ProFinder will send you a very designated match based on everything you say you do as a service. And it's either local or a certain mile radius. And they're usually quite good. I get maybe 1 to 2 a day. And I haven't really responded much. But it's good to know that I send them. You know what I do? I send them off to students because I think they're looking for side hustles and things to do in addition to maybe their part-time or their full-time gigs that they're getting. So there's a nice contact there. I haven't had a chance to read them over too much lately, but I just think it's worth us looking into. And I do have a good contact at LinkedIn, so maybe we can pick their brain on ProFinder.
Oh, cool.
That would be kind of fun.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right.
You're such a good teacher, Nick. Like, you're getting your students' jobs. My teacher there, like, all I learned was how to draw a hand and how to draw a shoe.
Oh, man.
That was my education.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I think education has changed so much, man. I'm in touch with so many other people, and they're all – this is just a natural now because, I mean, look how easy it is to do. I think just being so connected now, it's easy. But I love doing – you know, it's like it's part of the game now. I love it, you know. Thanks.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So before we move on to the next one, I just want to say a few extra things about this idea of teaching and giving your best stuff away. It's not going to work overnight. Like, don't ever expect this to be – it's not a Facebook ad. It's not turn it on and start getting – it takes a lot of time and a lot of commitment, but the people you do get from it are going to be the best leads you'll ever get because they're already kind of
– true.
They already know and trust you. and they're already going to be a little indoctrinated into your way of doing business, if that makes sense. So I talk all the time on my videos about how important strategy is to a website. So I'm never going to get a client from those that's going to want me just to make a pretty website because they've been hearing me drill it into them for so long, how important it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to say is if you're doing like blog posts or YouTube videos and all these things that are out there on the internet, make sure you kind of compile all of these on your own website as well. Don't just have them out everywhere.
Yep.
So what I do is I have my, you know, my YouTube videos on the channel, but then also I repurpose those and I make a transcript of them put it as a blog post on my website. So it's got the video and a transcript. Cool. So it's all there too. So anyone who's coming to my website, it's all in one place.
That's perfect.
All right.
That's cool.
Yeah. So the next, the number four point is stop working with everybody.
So, yes,
you know, that's it's one of the,
which is an issue that everybody knows I have.
I'm same here.
Aw. Yeah. You're just popular, Mikkel, that's all. So,
oh gosh,
just figure out
that's
your
sweet
ideal
of you to turn it into a compliment. It's a problem.
Do you have a hard time saying no?
Yeah, I do, and I always think to myself, this could be the account that really furthers my business.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah, and not only that, business wise, but my own, my company knowledge. You know, I'm collaborating with more support staff more and more these days, and I'm just like, it's becoming an addiction. I'll take it on. Let's do it. Who knows this? Let's collaborate. You know,
collaboration is good.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. But the main thing to remember here is you need to always remember who your ideal client is. We've talked a lot about this in the past. It's not everybody.
Yes.
It can't be everybody. You'll never really get good at any one thing if every person that comes along is your client. You know, so figure out who that is, and you're going to want to market just to them. So your client, when you're trying to figure it out, your ideal client should be someone that you know you can help. Based on what their problem is, and someone who will work within your process. Okay, that is so important because when you start getting these clients who tell you, oh no, this is the way we do it, you will go on our software, you will use our Jira or our whatever that system is. Now you have to spend time relearning stuff and it throws your whole process out of whack. Do you guys agree with that? Is that ever
happened? because then you're taking steps backwards and not being as, I think, proactive and efficient as maybe you have built yourself to be, right?
Right.
You know, like, so you're saying if it's too much of a reverse with a new client, it's not worth it.
Right. Like if I had, so, you know, we talked about that whole Basecamp method that I use now. And it works so well and it keeps projects so on track. But if I were to get a client who in a phone call, I explained that to them, they said, no, we're not going to do, that's not how we do it. You're going to be talking with this person every day and, you know, reporting to them every day. I would just say, sorry, no, like that's not, we've worked out a process that works and no disrespect to you and your company. But do you know how to make a website, or is that what you're hiring us for?
Yeah,
and
you're
not the process that works.
Right.
And you're not asking them to like bend 1,000% to your ways. It's just that if they are starting the conversation off with that much kind of control, I think it's a sign that maybe that this isn't the right fit, and it's not good for you in the future. I think too, if you are thinking positively about getting better and bigger clients. These are a qualification list, and we had that great episode about qualification, and I love the tips from there because I use it all the time, and I've made my own version of that. But you're right. Mm-hmm. I think if you are changing too much and it disrupts your process, I had somebody who didn't want to go through the whole discovery for branding with them, and they were were still in it, and they were very much like, can we just see what you think it should be. As far as the brand, and I'm like, dude, we don't shoot in the dark here. We don't just throw stuff on the, you know, we have a process and it's work. So maybe I should, that should have been enough of a sign for me, but
right.
This idea of,
I mean,
like,
think
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, think about if you had like a kitchen remodel you had to have done, and you had them and they told you how they're going to do it, and you said, no, that's not how I do it. Like, I want you guys to come in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And like, and I want you to bring in everything through the window. Like, no, that's, let the experts do it how they've done it. Like, they know how to do it right.
That's so
and
annoying.
You should, yeah. Like, once you've got your process and you know it works, don't deviate from it, because your clients don't know what they don't know. And they don't know you know, if they're going to just want to do it piecemeal, like, oh, the great instance. If my client said, I'm not going to do Basecamp, I prefer to communicate over email, that would be a huge problem, because now we're going back to the old way, which did not work at all, which is all these errant emails that I have to, you know, kind of lasso in from all these different places, versus on Basecamp, everything is exactly where it needs to be. You can see all communication. It takes them 5 minutes to learn this new system. And it keeps everything on track, and I like things on track.
Well, that's profitability, and that's higher rates because you've done the homework and you've set your business up to be optimal to any new client. So, like, I think how you relate it to raising your rates is, if you keep adding and taking clients like this, you'll never increase it. You know, you'll never get better and get to that point. So I think this is it's an interesting point in this topic. But it's so relevant, because I think we're all in that zone. And man, I know, it's like I'm saying yes to stuff that I know I should probably be weed out. But a lot of times it's like, you're just so like, oh, I could squeeze it in. I could do it. But then five minutes later, you're complaining about, I don't have the work-life balance thing right now, because I've taken on so many of these things that I probably should have said no to. And guess what? I could be making more money and increasing rates on the clients that do value what I'm bringing.
Yep. You know? Which brings me to step five, which is no more work-life balance, only work. Living life.
I know, man. Wow.
No, that wouldn't be it. I would never suggest such a thing.
But it's so true. You know, it's like, that would be a reason. I think in a lot of research I was looking up on this point, or this topic, is they were saying that a reason to raise your rates is if your work-life balance is completely off, right? And you can't go on that trip, or you can't do this because you're so stuck behind your desk. It's like, well, guess what? Then you.
So obviously the demand is there. That's not in question.
Exactly.
Time to up your rates. Yeah, that's a good gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, not to belabor the point, but whenever you raise your rate, you're kicking some people on the bottom out, but you're also opening up to a few people on the top that are now going to consider you because you're suddenly in their ballgame.
Yep.
Yeah, and to be taken seriously. A lot of people are believers of, you get what you pay for, which is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when companies have money, you know, not every company wants to spend under $1,000 for a website. Some companies spend six figures on a website. And I'm not just talking Coca-Cola, like some normal size companies will spend $100,000 on their website. So it's not unusual. Yeah. Okay, so last point here, and this one I think is going to maybe be the most controversial, but I happen to believe in it, and I've just started this, and it is, talk about price on your website.
This makes so many people uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, before I ask you guys your opinion, I'll just kind of say what I've done. So basically, here's why I did it. You know, 82% of people are not going to want to talk to anyone, you or a salesperson of any kind, before they're ready to buy. However, almost everybody is interested in price. Even the ones who have big budgets, it's not that they have no budget at all, money is no issue. They still want to know what the price is. So what I've found is that by putting, and by the way, I don't mean put your, I charge this dollar amount for this kind of website and this one for this one. No, you don't have to put actual prices on your website. What I do is I kind of disqualify people by putting what my ballpark pricing is. So I'll say, you know, the typical website costs, you know, between $10,000 and $20,000. but the sweet spot is between 12 and 16,000. So you can probably do the math that your website will be between $12,000 and $16,000. Can't tell you more than that till we talk. What this does is it gets rid of so much, hate to use the word riffraff, but so much riffraff that was going to schedule a consultation that when I tell them the price, they're not only like, whoa, that's too much, but then they start being defensive, asking, "Why? What makes you think you're worth that much?" And now I have to be on the phone with someone defending my prices. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that anymore.
That's exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what this does, it does result in fewer phone calls. And I'm perfectly happy with that. Because the people that I do talk to, I know that they're pre-qualified in terms of price. What do you guys think about this?
I battle with it.
Would you do it? Do you do it? I applaud it, but I wouldn't do it for myself, for my business on a personal level. No.
Okay. Why wouldn't you? I'm just curious because, to the other side of it. Probably what I was
because,
thinking before.
And I've mentioned this before, but my rate is dependent on the organization. I'm not going to bill the same hourly rate for a nonprofit or a startup as I do Amazon.
Okay. Yep.
And I think you're right. There's obviously a difference between who your end audience is and the scope of their business, right? How big they are.
Yeah. It's a valid way of pricing for sure. It's not how I price. Pretty much price based on the effort that's going to need to be there. So even if it's a smaller company, I'm not giving them a break.
I'm not arguing that I don't bill based on the effort. I just know to up my game if I'm working with a Fortune 500 organization.
The differences between my projects, if you line them up as far as scope of work, there's barely ever two alike, right? So like even a ballpark to me puts me in a rut where I wouldn't even talk pricing until I have a good list of what their scope of work will be. So I do have my minimums and I have my qualifications that I know what they are. I think one thing maybe here's my take on it and see what you guys think. I want the impression of my site and my offerings and everything on that they would find me on to almost pre-qualify and look that I want to show that perception that I'm not a person you would come to for just this one-off logo. It's much broader and bigger than that. And it's in our copy, but like I want to make sure that has helped us maybe weed out those people that do kind of come and say, I just need this and I have an idea, so it shouldn't be a lot of money. Can you do this? That still happens.
Right.
I still get that. I don't think you can completely clear that from your response, but I don't know. I would be putting myself in too much of a promise of something, even if I gave ballpark figures on my site.
Okay. That makes sense. If you're all over the map, then that's definitely something that would be hard to pinpoint. For me, most of my work falls into and I've designed it this way. Like this is, I'm no longer doing e-commerce websites because they're a pain in the ass that I can't do anymore.
They're such a cluster.
I can't do those anymore. Like they sit on your plate for entirely too long. So I've got a kind of website that I do. Yeah. But I say it starts at 10,000, nothing below that. Mm-hmm. But most are quoted between 12 and 16. It can go up from there. I do say that. It can go up from there depending on what your requirements are. But most of the websites that we work on will fit into this.
There you go. Okay.
You know, that's kind of – and what you're talking about, I think there is still a way of doing this by just kind of talking about minimums.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it's – and it may not be necessary. Like if you don't have a lot of time waster phone calls,
then
you may never have to do it.
Yeah.
Having said that, people are going to want to research prices a little bit. And if they can't find anything, like and a lot of people will do the thing of saying, I'm going to get their email address by having them get a quote because they're going to be so interested in getting a quote from me that they're going to fill out this form. People don't generally do that.
Correct.
So that's why I just prefer to put it out there. If it falls in line with you, great, let's talk. If not, move it along.
Yeah.
If not, there's just not a waste of time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because it's like, you know, I was trying to think of a way to maybe incorporate this and like, is there a way to do this? And then I was looking at the last few projects and like, even with any new branding that I do, there's always execution after it, that's where it goes beyond
where it's different.
So one place might say, hey, we have 5 SKUs and we're going to need 5 packaging done under this new branding. And then the other one's like, we have 72 things and we also need in-store displays and we're doing a lookbook and all that. So all of a sudden it's like, there's no way to even say it. So one of the few things I thought of that might work is, I want my copy, or maybe I should even add like more of like a frequently asked question area. I think that might be a smart way to say.
Yeah.
And
or
go ahead.
Like a FAQ, or what I have now is a, are we a good fit?
There you go. I love that.
You know, which is
totally.
Yeah.
Some of the questions I was thinking of saying is like, you know, one, I want to make sure, maybe throw out a few ballpark for 5 of the typical, maybe 3 of the typical project scopes that we do that are maybe a full-blown branding piece, and give them some idea of where that would be. Explain that we're not the place if you're looking for something cheap and kind of like, you know, a quick turnaround and you need something tomorrow. I don't want to be that person. And then we don't compete on price. I think that's a huge thing to say, that I'm like, I'm sorry, that's just not what we're here for. And I've never had to. So why, you know what I mean? And then also end it with something that you're connecting. Why they're paying more is because of better results, and like really push the fact that it's all for their benefit, you know? And maybe that might be a way to do it, because it's talking costs and it's kind of putting some feelers out there, but without putting numbers.
Sure.
I appreciate that example you just gave with respect to SKUs and how things can shift once the brand deliverable pieces have been sought.
Yeah.
I can relate with that with respect to tons of stationery items and print media thereafter that want to be bundled in.
Yeah.
It gives me a good idea. Like, I think if you're, you know, what if, Nick, you were to do something like, I'm not saying you have to, but it would be kind of a workaround. It would basically be, what if you could take 3 recent projects? Mm-hmm. One's a small, you consider a very small project. One's kind of your typical middle of the road. One was a high end. And you made 3 little case studies, could be video, could be 3 little, you know, columns outlining what this project is, what the deliverables were, and how much that one was.
Yeah.
So you're not saying this is how much yours is. You're going to say, if you're kind of like this
here are
project,
here's 3 examples. Yeah.
This might be what you could expect-ish, you know?
Yeah. That's smart. And then say any further application or whatever is obviously a much bigger conversation, but we want to just give you an idea of what the ballpoint would be.
Yeah. I think people just are looking for ballparks. They're not generally looking for a quote when they're in that phase. But if they're looking to spend $1,000 and you're telling them 20, now you're out. But if you say, you know, 1200, now they're listening.
Yep.
You know,
and you're right. I think in a lot of ways, the advantage of this point for the topic of this conversation is the fact that you've established some kind of a starting point. So when you do talk to this person, hopefully you are in a different range of fees than you would have if you didn't say this. Do you see what I mean? So I guess that's the advantage of why to do this, because it's true. Yeah, you might just eliminate those folks, but the conversation you do have, you're close because they've already seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've shown them a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And you're explaining why you're worth it, that this is an investment, not so much of a cost.
Yeah.
It's important how you phrase it.
My only fear would be, I've had those rare occasions where you get that opportunity to work with a super big company and their budgets are just crazy. And I if I had that on my site, could that ruin my chances of getting, you know, it's almost like blowing the chance of getting a big budget one time with a big client.
Sure.
You know?
Because
I let a big client kind of do the talking with price before I even mentioned anything. And I was so like, yeah, that's great. and if anything was on my site, it would have been like, whoa, You know, so
yeah,
I don't know. It's like, that's why I'm so kind of weary of doing it a little bit. I'll figure something out.
And I can see that side of it. If that's the reality of how pricing will factor in, mm-hmm. then you're absolutely right. For me, I tend to not think about my, like, I know my sweet spot of customer, and I know it's not Pepsi. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know who it mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. I know that it's a company that makes 1 to 10 million a year, not a Fortune 500 mm-hmm. company. So I can do this, you know? And that's, I guess, another, you know, it's topic for another day, but that's all about just having that kind of niche, I guess.
I like what you said too about having that site or that part on your page that says just, are we a good fit? And I was reading a really good article that kind of talked about that too. And I gotta start changing, because I think also too, it sounds so conversational when you have something like that on your site that just humanizes you and your team, right? I love that.
Language like that, by and large, absolutely. It's around, it's at the same table, talking with one another.
Yeah. And that's how your copy should always be on your site too. It should always be laden with jargon, and you know, it should always be like you're talking to a friend or one person. I believe in that.
And I'm I've been for the last few weeks working on revamping the whole agreement and contract thing. And I'm taking that approach deliberately, that it's definitely got the legal terms in there, but I'm making it more of a pitch. It becomes more pages, but the beautiful thing is each page is a topic, and I've branded it, and it's not just fine print. It's more welcoming to read, and I'm putting headlines in it that are much more, like we were saying, friendly, human, conversational. And it's just a way of, I just want to up that game too, because, you know, we know it too. When we are working with someone and you get a contract or whatever, and it looks like a legal term, you know, right from a lawyer's office, I don't like that, you know? So I want to charge more. So I think all these things become a way of improving your chances of getting better pay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that was our topic, and we have a listener question in a minute, but first we have to talk a little FreshBooks. Ah, FreshBooks, how do we love thee? They're such a breath of fresh air, no pun intended. You know, they make it so easy for us as designers to get our invoices out so that we can get our money in and move on with the fun stuff, which is the designing and the client work and all that. What we don't want to do is spend time, you know, on invoices. It's boring. That's for accountants. But the Canadians at FreshBooks have figured it out. So, and it's very quick and easy. I can attest to that. You can get an invoice out the door in 30 seconds, and they look really great. You know, they're branded. They've got your colors.
They're polished.
Polished. They make you look like the pro that you pretend to be.
And you have so many choices. You have design choices now. I love it. For your invoice, there's like different templates that customize to your look and your logo colors. It's fantastic.
Perfect. So in literally two clicks, you can set yourself up with FreshBooks online payments and get paid. 60% of invoices are paid within one day. Can you imagine such a thing? FreshBooks imagined it, and they made it happen. That's why we love them. You know, what can we say about them we haven't said already? Do it. Get it. You'll love it. You'll not know how you ever lived without it. I promise you that. So
no, I absolutely agree with that statement.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like we've
been
using
them for
3 years.
I don't know how I got by without them before. I was spending way too many hours with administrative tasking altogether before these guys.
Yeah. What are you going to send a PayPal link? You're going to send a PayPal link where it just looks shady. It looks like you're, you know.
Yeah.
In your mom's basement.
That's not what you do when you're running a business. It's certainly not what you do when you're trying to raise your rates like we've been talking about. So exactly. They got great support. We know that. But here's the thing, guys. 30-day unrestricted free trial. Go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter deeply graphic design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Once again, to claim your 30-day unrestricted free trial, go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter deeply graphic design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Okay, so today's question,
surprise,
it's already been retracted, so it's a little controversial, but it's a cool it's a great question that I want to talk about anyway.
Go for it.
This kind of speaks to a bigger point.
Cool.
So this comes from Crystal. Thank you for sending it in, Crystal. So it's a long email. The first sentence is, my question is, at what point do you stop taking the client's thoughts and ideas into consideration? So then she goes on to, she's doing a little ranting. Her language gets a little zesty as it goes forward. And then she sent me an email the next day saying, sorry about all that. I figured it out.
Oh.
So sorry to put you on the spot, Crystal, to read it anyway. We're not going to get into the whole thing, but basically it's the client was just changing everything and making everything suck and making everything ugly. So at what point do you stop? Do you stop order taking, basically? We talked about this earlier, and stop taking their thoughts and ideas into consideration. And I thought, what a great question, because you never really do, and you never really can. However, you can certainly educate your client around these horrible choices. And that's your job to do that. But at the end of the day, you gotta kind of either deliver what they are agreeable to, whether that's you talking them into your way of doing things, or if they never come around and they want their horrible, ugly piece of crap that you end up designing for them, that's their prerogative, or it's your prerogative to cut and run. What do you guys think?
Yeah, you have the choice. If you have an existing client that you cannot break free of it, then it's kind of your decision to stay with it or drop them. And then on the flip side, you just got to be proactive and don't start a new relationship in that manner. I think we talked a lot about it in this episode, right? Like this whole idea, don't be an order taker. So it's you start fresh with someone new, and guess what? Maybe in a month or two, you're like, hey, I don't need that client that is the order taker.
Right.
I'm the order taker. What do you think?
You have a real chance to assess after you've established business relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really your choice. And I think then how you condition them later down the road to make sure you'll be surprised, man. I think if you start fresh with someone, it might be a little bit of a hurdle, but once you've proven yourself, I think they're going to latch on to your ideas and love the fact that you're bringing it. And if they don't, I think sometimes they're too precious of maybe a business owner or a person to agree with that someone else has a great idea.
Sure.
I find
that
that's
the thing.
Man.
You're never going to just like clobber someone over the head into respecting your design choices. That has to come, you know, it comes from the very first time they encounter you, whether that's on a YouTube video or on your website. If your website just shows all the pretty pictures you've made for people, then they're not going to think of you as an expert in the marketing side or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It all hinges on how you, position yourself to them from the very beginning. So if you're a brand new designer just out of school and they know that, of course, they're probably not going to have a whole lot of respect for your choices because they're going to think that their opinion is just as valid. When they stop thinking that is when they think, okay, no, she's an expert at this. She's not just, you know, someone right out of school. She knows her shit. Because she's done this before. She's, you know, made this much money for other clients. We trust her. So you're going to have to show case studies. Show your worth is basically what we're saying. And I'm not saying you haven't done that already, Crystal. I don't know your exact situation. But, yeah, it's all about how you position yourself from the very beginning of the project.
Yep. So right? How you set the tone,
really.
That's
great.
Yeah, exactly. Make them respect you, they will respect you. Mm-hmm. But you have to earn that, and you have to let them know why they should. So sorry, Crystal, that we had to answer that anyway. Just thought it was too good to pass up. So,
and it works well with what we're talking about today.
It's just an interesting question. So anyway, keep sending in those questions, guys. We are actually kind of running low on them. So send those questions to questions@thedeependdesign.com. We have had some people lately leaving questions kind of in the comments of our episodes or on Facebook. you know, we can possibly get to those, but let's make it easy on us, won't you please? So we can have them all in one place and just send them to questions@thedeependdesign.com. We'll love you for that. And we love the audio questions. And what else we love? 5-star reviews, baby.
So keep them coming.
If you haven't done one of those for us yet and you love the show, please do. It's the way we get found by new earballs of new people that want to listen. It's how we grow. It's how we can keep helping. So anything you guys would like to add before we head off for the weekend?
Man, I think that's it. We covered some good stuff. And a great
question. Yeah, that was a great episode. I love the roundtable with all those 5 tips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll do more top 5 lists in the future. How about that? Well, with that in mind, keep designing and catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Design Cast.